It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
All right, hi there, everybody. Welcome to the program, Felger Maserati. On a Friday, that means agenda-free. You set the agenda with your wonderful phone calls. Agenda-free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose some new Acuras, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, Audis, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. Agenda-free means you call us with what you want to talk about, and that's what we talk about. It's pretty much that simple. We give you the number, 617-779-0985. We release the hounds, meaning opening the phone lines, which we have just done. You fill up the lines, and as you fill up the lines, we give you an opening take until we get to you. Big Jim Murray is in for Maz, has the day off. He's alongside in the Maz chair. Hi, Murray.
Hi, Mike.
And Matt McTakey there, Matt McCarthy in our update studios. Who wants to go first?
I'll go. So I was already planning on opening up today, crowing about Rams quarterback Jared Goff, he of the empty stats and empty head. But then you, like, now I got to double down on it anyway, because I was going to do it anyway. But then in our email chain this morning, the first email from one Mike Felger, and I quote, "Great game last night, Murray. Do you acknowledge that Goff played more than well enough to win? Had some big clutch throws. His one pick wasn't his fault. Hit the tight end in both hands. He should be 4-1 this year, coming off a big NFC win on the road."
Did I authorize the public release of a private email?
You send it, it's out there. Anything that gets sent to me, it's out in the ether.
Usually,
sign off on that. That's the way it works.
We clear it, but I stand by everything I said there. But hold on. Was there a question mark on there, or was there a period?
Period, from what I saw. So, acknowledge Goff played good. Clearly, you didn't watch the same game that I did.
Well, okay. Hold on. Did I say acknowledge he played good?
Murray, do you acknowledge that Goff played more than well enough to win?
Question mark.
I don't see that. Had some big clutch throws. His one pick wasn't his fault. I'll even give you that. Hit the tight end in both hands. He should be 4-1 this year, coming off a big NFC win on the road. Okay.
Hold on. Is that last part not a fact?
He did.
No. Should he be 4-1 coming off a big NFC win?
No, he should not be, because they're lucky that a few didn't go the other way with pick sixes. If you watch the game as intently as I did, because now this is like my favorite side thing besides rooting for the Patriots when I watch football now, it's being right about Jared Goff and watching the Rams and watching that kid fail. Because the drive that started at right before the end of the half for the Rams, where Cooper Kupp did everything in his power to save Goff from throwing a horrendous, absolutely horrendous interception that would have been a backbreaker at that point. How many times, you watch the end of this game, did Goff do his best to throw it to a Seahawks defensive back with the last two drives that he had? And more than anything else, okay, I will even acknowledge he had a ballsy throw over the middle to set up the field goal. And then what happened? He took a made me so happy. He took a delay a game penalty where, again, Daddy must have been in his ear like,
"Okay, so just make sure you're looking for cover two, and if you see the safety come down, or whatever you do, keep your eye on the..."
What's going on, Daddy? I don't know what I'm looking... Delay a game, they have to move back 5 yards. So then he completes a 9-yard pass to Everett, the tight end, who gets out of bounds. So the 44-yard field goal, 39 yards. So he screwed the kicker. I know that Zuerlein has the big leg. He missed it. If you want to put it on him, that's fine. But I think you would be wrong. Goff, in his stupidity, ultimately cost the Rams that game.
So wait a minute. Wait. You're blaming Goff for the missed field goal?
Yep, 100%. 100. It's 1,000% on Jared Goff because Zuerlein missed that kick. It would have been an easier kick if football Pinocchio was actually paying attention and was a smart quarterback, which he is not because he has to have his hand held the entire way by Sean McVay, who is truly the brains of that operation and that offense. And when it's all left up to him or that signal gets cut off, again,
make sure you notify the mic. That's the one thing that's important on this drive. And keep your eye on the clock.
What did he say? I don't know what I'm supposed to be. There goes the whistle. You're backed up 5 yards. He's got a big arm. He can make throws. But if he is not having his hand held the entire way by the coach, the kid is lost. He sucks. I don't care what anyone says. It comes down to this. On two things in football right now going forward, if you call or you're all up in my mentions on Twitter, if it's about Antonio Brown or Jared Goff, here's what it needs to say. Jim, you're right. You're right. That's it. That's all it needs to read. I don't care what else you have to say. Antonio Brown should be here. Kraft is wrong for cutting him. Goff is actually a good quarterback. He made it to the Super Bowl. Look at his numbers. No, I don't. Jim, you're right. You were right on Antonio Brown. He should have never been signed here. He's a world-class a-hole who can't help himself. He's impulsive. Maybe one of the worst people on the planet. Jim, you're right on Antonio Brown. And Jared Goff is a dumb, brainless puppet who sucks. Empty stats. Empty head. Jim, you're right on Jared Goff. It's okay to say. Just say it. Just hit me up on Twitter, @BigJimMurray, or call today, 617-779-0985 on Jared Goff. Jim, you're right. Jim, you're right. He sucks. It's okay. Oh, that was so enjoyable last night. So good. I'm done.
McCarthy, excellent job, Murray.
Yeah, excellent stuff. I couldn't agree more. I'm going to break one of the Felger and Maz commandments. I feel like I've been on the show enough to fully break all of the commandments. I'm going to blame a team for something that they haven't done yet. The Red Sox are on the verge of screwing up the Mookie Betts trade. And here's why I say that. They missed their best chance to trade him. And this is not revisionist history. I was saying this back in July. They should have traded him at the deadline. And the reason I say that now is because John Henry came out last weekend and said that he had a different philosophy from Dave Dombrowski moving forward. Does that mean Mookie Betts? I mean, again, because this is a franchise-altering decision that the Red Sox are going to make with Mookie Betts, either signing him or trading him. Ownership must have known this summer that they were going to slash payroll next year. Ownership has to know that they don't want to pay Mookie Betts, because if they wanted to pay Mookie Betts, they would have paid him by now. Don't you think Dave Dombrowski would have been the type of person who wanted to sign and keep Mookie Betts? I mean, that's his MO, right? I mean, I think that's a pretty realistic thing to say. It's obvious to me now that there was a difference in philosophy at the trading deadline with this team. The ownership would have liked to have moved on. Dave Dombrowski didn't want to move on from Mookie Betts, and they missed their best chance to trade this guy. Because this offseason, I'm just worried that they're not going to get enough. SNY had a report this week that the Red Sox are going to ask for, get this, a hitter, a cost-controlled pitcher, and top 100 prospects in return. You think you're going to get that from Mookie Betts?
I'm sorry, say it again?
The Red Sox reportedly want, according to SNY, a hitter, a cost-controlled pitcher, and two top 100 prospects in return for a guy who's going into free agency next year and is owed $30 million this year. You think you're getting that?
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Do they have two top 100 prospects?
The Red Sox?
Yeah.
Borderline. Depends on which list.
I was going to say, I'm not even sure they have two of those guys.
It depends on which list you look at. Chances are they don't.
What cost-controlled pitcher? So Eddie Rodriguez...
No. This is what they want in return.
No, that's what I'm saying. Right. So the equivalent of Eddie Rodriguez.
J.D. Martinez or something like that.
Andrew Benintendi and two top 100 prospects.
The name that was floated out there, the names that were floated out there were from the Dodgers. Jock Peterson, Kenta Maeda, and two top 100 prospects. You're not getting that from Mookie Betts. I'm sorry, you're not getting that this offseason.
That's ridiculous.
Could you have gotten that for him, though, at the trading deadline with a year and a half of control? I think the answer is yes. But why didn't they? Because they didn't have the balls, because they didn't have the right person in place, because there was a difference in organizational philosophy. There's no way Dave Dombrowski would have wanted to make that move at the deadline. But if you had gone to John Henry in ownership and said you can get this for Mookie Betts, you think they would have done it? I just think they're on the verge of screwing this thing up, and I think they missed their chance. They missed their chance to maximize the return for this guy. He should have been traded in July, and I'm concerned you're not going to get much for him this offseason.
Okay, my opening take is just a few quick Bruins thoughts off of last night, because overall I was kind of impressed. I was borderline impressed. There was no sign of a hangover there. They came out strong and played a good game against a good team.
It was a good night.
I mean, the quiet one probably could have had two goals before the end of the first period.
So, but I'm just saying overall, like, I don't know if I was expecting that. I think we're all sort of thinking they're going to come out with their skates in the sand coming off of the way that thing finished, and they didn't. So just some individual thoughts. It'd be nice if Heinen can find a scoring touch, Murray, to your point. Be nice, as opposed to being quiet. Maybe he could be a little louder. And so maybe that's a sign of things to come. They better hope, because they need someone to emerge. And I'll take Heinen as well as a scoring threat. I think your best player is Charlie Coyle right now. I think he was pretty much the point man on both those goals, sort of set them both up, even if he didn't get the assist on the second. He was sort of in on both, and I think Charlie Coyle, coming off of last year's playoffs and last night, when he's on the ice or near the puck, generally a good thing is going to happen, and that's what it's sort of come to with him. So I think he's your best player right now. I thought Rask was strong in this game. Tuukka, terrific. I'd say the same thing about him I'd say about the team. Good job, you know, starting with a little edge and ready to go. Starting on time. I thought this team might start a little late. And they didn't, and he didn't. And so he was good. He was terrific in this game. I thought their defense overall was good in this game, their decor. So I just, overall, I thought I liked it. The one aggravation is I still think the first line, those bad habits that they fell into last year, I sort of felt them last night. Overpassing, too much dangling. The puck management on David Pastrnak remains absolutely wretched. I want to do a little vomit in my mouth every time I see Pastrnak with the puck. Give it away. Just brutal.
Too cute.
So I still feel like, I don't know, that just got me aggravated because the way the first line played last night, I've seen it before. And it was a growing aggravation on me last season, culminating in the way it ended. But overall, good night. Kind of a surprising good night. So there's your Bruins thought. There are your opening thoughts on Agenda Free Friday. As promised, Agenda Free, you said it to your calls. Jay in Amherst, what do you got for us on the Red Sox?
Hey, guys. Great show. Just curious on your thoughts on the Red Sox GM situation right now. They've already hired scouts and management, and they haven't even named a GM. Now, what's the perception going to be as a He doesn't have any power over anything. He doesn't have.
Well, so you're sort of crapping out. Let me fill in the blanks here. They've filled in a lot of the secondary roles, right?
And yeah, scouting. They've reshuffled some things. You're talking about other people in the front office,
that's
right?
That's right. Like in the front office, they've, and I don't even know, I'm just making this up, but they have a director of this, an assistant director of that. And they've sort of filled out the roster underneath what a GM would be. So. Isn't that sort of backwards? Wouldn't you want the GM to come in and have
their people?
He sets his staff.
It's a sign that they're going internal. I think ultimately they're going to hire Eddie Romero or one of the Gang of Four right now. I think the reason why they haven't announced that is I think they want to take one last run at Friedman, the executive out in L.A. His contract is up at the end of the year. So when the Dodgers are done, whenever that may be, they've got an opportunity to go after him and at least make an offer and see what he says. But if he doesn't come here, I don't think anybody else is coming here, because Ben Cherington got fired 2 years after winning a World Series. Dave Dombrowski got fired 1 year after winning a World Series. If you're a top candidate somewhere, wouldn't you look at that and say, you know, I'd rather go somewhere where I have a little bit of job security even when I win. So I think the Red Sox, ultimately, if they don't get Friedman, it's going to be somebody internally.
Didn't John Henry say last week, we want someone with experience?
I don't think they're going to get that unless it's Friedman.
Okay.
You know, but it's hard. If you're David Stearns or anyone else out there, would you say, yeah, I'm going to go somewhere where I can win a World Series and still get canned?
For those of you who don't know, and that's 99.9% of you, David Stearns is the Bruins GM, Brewers GM, Milwaukee Brewers GM. McCarthy and I can dork out to him all day long, but I'm not going to bore you with it. But that's who you should be going after. He's really good. That's another one of these whippersnapper analytics Yale nerds. And I'm not even sure he went to Yale, but did he go to Yale?
Yeah, he's a Yale guy.
Right, so he's one of these, whatever. One of these guys. Well, you know what, Theo 2.0, that I'd like to see what he could do with some payroll. That's a guy I would have on your radar. But if you filled out the staff for him, and he's going to get fired after winning a World Series, why would he? But anyway, we're off and running on Agenda Free Friday. Back to your phones after this. Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win.
FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Zuerlein, almost always money, gets this one away. It's up. And it's so good! Greg Zuerlein misses it! It started as a small from the Hawks nest, and eventually we all saw it. It was a miss, and the Seahawks are going to dodge a bullet and win this game with 11 seconds left. Holy catfish! A miss by Greg Zuerlein from 44 yards out.
Another terrific NFC football game last night. Two good teams down to the wire.
I have a few problems with your opening take, Murray. It's totally okay. You actually hurt your position by the way you present that take.
Oh, how's that, Mike?
Well, because if you want to say Goff sucks, I think that's fine. That's reasonable. But to say that he missed that field goal, that Goff's the reason the guy missed the field goal is...
He makes it tougher on the kicker.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does. Don't take that delay of game. Of course he does. What would you rather hit, a 44-yard field goal or a 39-yard field goal?
So the reason he got the 9 yards on the next play is because they lost five on the play before. If they had not taken that delay of game, that might have been a handoff. That might have been a kneel down. He was at 44 yards. It's a bunny. It's nothing. So I don't know if they're going for a 9-yard pass on the play that he took the delay of game on. You understand what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that was going to be the range. He was going to be somewhere between 35 and 45 yards. And for a guy like that, it makes no difference. Meaning that kicker with that leg, it doesn't matter. You got to make that kick. Goff should be 4-1 coming off a big win on the road against a tough NFC opponent. I mean, he should be if the kicker makes the kick. And I don't think Goff is great either. I just think portraying him as like one of the worst guys in the league is kind of silly. And to blame him for the field goal miss, I don't agree with.
Well, it's what I enjoy doing.
So that's the only part of the if you say he sucks, I mean, he threw a bunch of balls that could have gone the either way. There's no doubt about that. No question about that.
You know what it is? And the reason I harp on him so much is because he puts up such ridiculous numbers. And I think a lot of this might come from the fantasy people. And this is where I'm with you. Like,
he leads the league in yards.
Yeah. And I don't care about that. Like, that's moot. Do you watch these games? Do you watch some of his bad throws that aren't picked off? And that's, you know, shame on these defensive backs or linebackers that can't make a play or a safety. But my God, like, this guy is a bad play waiting to happen time and again. So it just annoys me. Like, oh, but look at the numbers. And he got to a Super Bowl last year. A lot of that is schemed up. I think you would get the same exact thing with Blake Bortles, who's the backup there.
You might. So, but the missing of the kick, that's interesting because it comes on the heels of the debate yesterday between Tony and Paul, you know, where Maz thinks every kicker in the league sucks and he doesn't trust any of them. And Paul thinks the kicking's really good in the league. And basically, these guys make most of their kicks, and that doesn't matter who it is, that most of them go in. And that was sort of the debate yesterday. And so last night, score one for Maz, which unfortunately leads me to the email of the day.
It's the Moncast email.
Felga, I fucking hate you, and I think Maz is a douche.
The Mimecast email of the day. Send one to Felger at 98.5thesportshub.com.
Mimecast is the official cyber resilience email provider of the New England Patriots. Protect your business from email. Protect your business email from cyber attacks with cloud solutions from Mimecast. That's Mime, MIMECAST.com. Go to Mimecast.com today. Dear Mike, please consider this an official submission for the Mimecast email of the day. After hearing Maz rant about weenie kickers yesterday, I had to turn off the radio. I don't believe that every kicker sucks. In fact, I believe that some of them are excellent. Like, for example, Greg Zuerlein. Oops, I mean Legatron. Or Greg the Leg. And then last night happened. As of today, I'm happy to report that I am back listening again, even when I want to turn it off. Altogether now, you're right, Tony. Signed, promo code Maz. P.S. Please ask Asper today if he still thinks Brady has less margin for error this year. That defense is amazing. Sent from my iPhone. So that's Maz. He's crowing yesterday from that debate.
And he should.
All kickers suck.
Zuerlein, who again has the biggest leg in the league, but it doesn't matter. It all comes down to what's in between their ears. They're all inherently gutless weenies. I expect them all to miss the biggest kick. I really do. Whether it's Zuerlein, Lutz, Gostkowski, if he's healthy, the guy in Baltimore. Why do I forget his name? It doesn't matter.
Justin Tucker.
Yeah, Justin Tucker. Doesn't matter. You don't need to know their names. They're all the same at heart. They're all gutless pukes that are waiting to miss the big kick.
Brandon, you were right, Maz.
I just like that Maz takes the opportunity to crap all over everybody, even when he doesn't work.
Yeah, no, correct.
You were right, Maz.
Brandon in Boston, what do you got for us?
Hey, how you doing? How you guys doing? Thanks for taking my phone call. You know, it kind of sucks that these football kickers are determining the game. Now, Murray's talking about Jared Goff sucks. I have no problem with Jared Goff. I'm a Rams fan. He played his tails off. What I had a problem with was the defense and the kicker. And Murray, how many touchdowns did Tom Brady have against the Bills?
None. Zero, well, the Bills right? have an excellent defense.
And how many touchdowns did Jared Goff have against the Bucks? Two. And they talk about he sucks. This guy's great. I mean,
you like how he played in that Bucks game
at Bucks home? The Bucks game is the game you're bringing up?
Come on, man. Anytime you breathe on this guy, and look, most quarterbacks in the league, but you get any pressure on him, they start freaking out. He was, again, you're falling in love with the stats. You're falling in love with the stats for Jared Goff. Too many people do this. He was awful in that game against Tampa. Awful. One of the reasons that they lost.
Got to make that kick. Got to make that kick. And I'm sorry, that last drive, yes, he threw some debatable ball. I'm just fighting you saying that he sucks. I think he's above average. I think he's slightly above average. Right, so do I put him in the top 10 in the league? I put him in the top 15. I mean, I'll say that.
It's my pushback because people want to talk about him like he's top five. So this guy's going to be biased because he's a Rams fan. But I just think he's...
Oh, so he's not top five. I mean, use your eyes. He's not top five. But I'm not sure where that last drive started without any timeouts. So Seattle runs that option play with Russell Wilson, which I didn't hate as much as everybody else. I like Russell Wilson with the ball in his hands. But
he shouldn't have pitched it, though.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure. Right. I think you should have made a move and go get it yourself. I mean, you're good enough. Right. And that pitch was like 5 yards deep. Yeah. That was weird. But anyway, St. Louis gets the ball deep in their own end. No timeouts. I don't know where they started, like 8-yard line, something like that. And he got him into easy field goal range.
Oh, that was on Pete, and that was on the Seattle defense. They backed off. They should have pressured that kid. Thank all of you. A sudden, they just started playing soft. They did the Pete Carroll thing. That's what they did.
He still made some throws. And look,
and tried to throw it away about two or three times on that drive, too. He was not great on that drive. I mean, he took what was there eventually, but he nearly threw two picks on that drive, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, I think you guys have a tough standard. I mean, he drove him down to win the game, was about to win on the road in a tough environment and go 4-1 after going to the Super Bowl the year before and 11-5 the year before that. I mean, that's just, I don't know. If that sucks in the league, if that sucks, then the league's in real trouble because then no one can play the freaking position. Mike and Peabody, what do you got for us today?
Jared Goff sucks and blows. That's not why I called, though. Did you guys catch Brady's presser?
Just a little snippet of it. Go ahead, though.
Now, sorry, on the young guys, and I guess you pull it up. I'm sorry, I just didn't have it readily available. But he speaks about how he doesn't want to expend his mental energy on other people's jobs, referring to the receivers. What is wrong with him?
Okay, so I think I heard the comment you're talking about. Do we have cuts in the system, Jimmy? Do we have it yet? No. Negative. We'll get it for you. I think it was an exchange. So I think Phil Perry asked him about young players. And Brady's answer was generic. But it ended with him saying, what's great about our team and what, you know, we do is it's really about doing your job. And I can only do my job and they can only do their jobs. And I was a young guy once, too. I didn't play as a rookie, but it's up to them to get up to, it was along those lines of, no, the whole premise here is that you're responsible for yourself and doing your job. And I'm not there to hold. He didn't say this, but again, I think what the caller inferred is that Brady's saying, I'm not here to hold your hand or bring you along. It's up to you to do your job. We'll play the cut when we get it.
I can only worry about me. I can't worry about
anyone
else.
Yeah, so like, I don't know. Regardless of what he said, I wish Brady was better with younger players. I do. And I think it's a legit criticism of him.
It's been that way for a while.
That it's just pulling teeth to get him to bring new receivers, young receivers into his circle of trust, and that we even talk about a circle of trust. That's annoying. It wasn't like this early in his career. It wasn't. We never talked about the circle of trust. We always talked about his favorite receiver is his open receiver. And even in years like 2006, when he was left high and dry, we never talked about gaining the trust of Rashay Caldwell or gaining the trust of Doug Gay. Brady just threw to him, and it sucked, and it didn't work, but we didn't have this whole thing about, you know, will Brady work with the guy? And now it's like this whole thing, and I don't love it, you know? But gotta love Brady as a player and all of that. I'm not saying, like, fire the guy or trade the guy, but it's just...
I think there's even cases you can point out and say that guys get shut out after being in said circle of trust.
And Chris Hogan.
Chris Hogan last year. Thank you.
Yep.
It's just one of those things. I wish Brady were better at it.
Galloway was the dividing line. That was the first time ever.
Real quick, Jimmy. Let's hear it.
Yeah. It's up to... I think one thing we talked about here is just doing our job, so... I mean, I can do what I can do. Everyone player can do what they can do. I can't do anything for anyone else. They can't do anything for me. So a lot of it's just trust and trying to communicate trust and communication so that, you know, I've always said the best teammates are the ones that I have to think about the least because I don't want to expend my mental energy on things that aren't really my job.
Oh, that's annoying. I hadn't heard that until right now. That's annoying.
Like, why can't they...
And he can do something for other players. So play that again, Jimmy, because there's some...
You know, I've always said the best teammates are the ones that I have to think about the least because I don't want to expend my mental energy on things that aren't really my job.
Not really your job.
Like, why does it cut off there? I'd like to hear what he kept going and said, but it's like, no, when you're the quarterback...
And you've been around as long as you have.
He goes on to talk about the defense there. That's why I cut it off.
Okay, all right. So, like, if you're the left tackle, I understand not worrying about the right tackle. Like, I get it, but when you're the quarterback... That's sort of a different spot there. You know, you are sort of responsible for the flow and the running of the offense. And
you want to have a mind meld with your wide receivers and who you're throwing to.
And distributing the ball. Like, there's a couple positions where I'd have to say, you know, if you're the safety, the free safety, and you're in charge of setting the defense and helping set coverage. And no, it's not just about you and your little bubble. You got to make sure this is right and this guy's there and that guy's there. And quarterback is definitely that spot. So this is a little bit of a failing of Brady late in his career. It's like pulling teeth to get him to work with these kids. So I see where the caller's coming from. Here's an update from McCarthy, and we have controversy with the Bruins broadcast. We'll get to
it's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
angles it ahead, looking for Sagan. Cut off by Bergeron with three. Center circle, it is Coyle. He's got it, shoots. The horn sounds as that puck floats in. The Boston Bruins have started the 2019-20 regular season with a road win in Dallas, winning 2-1 in regulation as the Bruins cascade off the bench to congratulate Tuukka Rask in the far circle to our left.
That was the final call of the Bruins game again. For what it's worth, game one of 82. Long way to go.
Hell of a lot better than last year's start, though. Given that.
Was it game one at Washington when they lost 7-0?
Yeah.
So I think it's good the Bruins started on time. I think it's good they started on the road. I meant to mention this yesterday. I'm glad they're starting on the road. In fact, this would have been an excellent year for them to start like in China or Europe or one of those kind of things. Mm-hmm. I just think there's still a lot of negative juju, a lot of negative energy here related to that finish last year.
That's a good point.
People are either pissed or not ready, and so just get out of here. Just go bond, stay out of it, find yourself out on the road, which is kind of easy to do. Go get hammered one night, have your rookie dinner one night, all that stuff, and go do that. You know, honestly, it would be a good time to start in China, but they're starting on the West, and they won't be back for a week, so I think that's actually a positive. So it was a good start. Rask started on time. The team started on time. All good. the bad news is that I had to listen to Jack Edwards, who I like, and I don't mean to attack. I'm not attacking Jack, but he's a friend of the program. We bring him on during the playoffs. I like him. He drives me a little nuts because I have a thing for the homerific calls. He gets homerific on me with the play-by-play. You know, it's enough to have a homerific color guy, which is he's supposed to be. The color guy is supposed to be show ponies and unicorns, and like, I get it.
He's into it, man.
Tommy Heinsohn went out, but when the play-by-play guy is homorific, it's just... So, there was this thing that happened last night. I kind of noticed it during the game, but I chalked it up to the standard Jack Edwards homorific, subtle, homorific play-by-play call. Which, again, if you don't know, for you hockey Christians, you watch a lot of Bruins hockey, you know what I'm talking about. Where Jack will... You know, Chara with a big drive from the blue line. No, Jack. It was really like a three-quarter sort of thing just to get it on net. It wasn't a big drive. The puck will hit the back glass. Boychuk almost puts a hole in the back glass. No. It just sort of made a sound against the glass, and it really wasn't that big of a huge glove save from Tuukka Rask. It was just a
standard save.
It's kind of a can of corn. He just split his legs, and it looked kind of spectacular, but it wasn't. And you know, I mean, there's just a million examples. Oh, he drives him through the boards. No, it was really just a nice...
And here's the monkey coming off Marchand's back.
So hold on. It was just a nice check. So we have a million examples. We don't have to play them now. But so they're just subtle sort of homerific things that just drive me nuts watching hockey. And I was, you know, reminded of it immediately last night. And then this happened. Was it the second period?
Yeah.
Where Chris Wagner's going into the corner and Roman Polak, the defenseman there, tries to hit him, and Polak sort of goes into the boards awkwardly, shoulder, neck, and head, and gets injured. And this is what it sounded like on Nesson.
Wagner goes to the corner. Polak loads up for a hit, gave him that little chuck in the lower back, and Polak...
Yeah, that looks self-induced, isn't it?
Yeah, has a little bit of bad hockey karma.
Well, he's the aggressor in this situation, and he's trying to get body position on the backside, but not take a penalty from hitting from behind.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot to process there at a very high level of speed. He wants to be a physical guy. He is a physical guy. He has an opportunity to, you know, make a hard physical body contact play on a physical guy like Chris Wagner. But all of a sudden, he gets himself into an awkward position, and he goes into the boards in a very vulnerable position, and that did not end well. And not to be lost on that, too, Jack, you take a look at Chris Wagner going in there, and that wasn't the safest position to be in either as a Bruin.
Okay, so that was the call. And again, I don't think they liked the fact, and this is typical of Jack. So Polak tried to give Wagner a little shot going into the corner, and they didn't like it. Jack didn't like it. And that's how it all sort of stems. So again, it's not over the top. It's just sort of subtle that, well, you get what you pay for, buddy. Try and hit our guy in the back, see what you get. And that's all that is. It's like, you know, bad little league parent, like, nee, 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 nee. You tried to hit me in the back, you got hurt, you got what you, you know, that sort of thing. And that's sort of what it was from Jack. They didn't like it down in Dallas. They're giving Jack a hard time down in Dallas. Alan Walsh, who is
either Polak's agent or...
He is. He's the Drew Rosenhaus of hockey agents, I would say.
Oh, he's one of the big guys?
Yeah.
I don't even recognize him. So Octagon Sports, they have Polak as a client. Tweeted, of course, it's on Twitter. Tweeted, I have tremendous respect for the Bruins players that sent best wishes. And oh, by the way, this became, you know, silent stadium, neck board, backboard out
scary.
There.
Yeah,
you know,
really scary.
Wheeled off the ice. Is he going to move? That it was one of those scenes. And so the agent tweets out, the Bruins players came up. Chara was one of the last guys talking to him before they wheeled him off the ice. Walsh says, I have tremendous respect for the Bruins players that sent best wishes, all class. As for Jack Edwards, to say Roman's injury was, quote, bad hockey karma while he was lying motionless on the ice, you are truly a piece of bleep and an absolute disgrace. So that was a little strong.
Yeah, and it's also taken out of context. This was in the moment that Jack does it, and he should know better, but this is what he is. Like, he gets pumped up, and, you know, he's in the moment. This is he's had these type of calls before. This wasn't seconds, minute, couple of minutes later while Polak is laying there motionless, and they're strapping him to the board and says, oh, that's hockey karma. That's what you get, ha-ha, and just chirping him that way. That's not how it played out. I get this as an agent defending his guy, but he took this thing out of context. And so now what? And of course, because this is tweeted out and social media being the sewer that it is, you know, people want a pound of flesh here. So what? Should he lose his job because of this?
So absolutely not. Of course not. It's
no.
Ridiculous. It's this ridiculous blah, culture. It's ridiculous. So the way it's presented is that Jack is sitting there going, neener, neener, see what you get, as he's getting neck boarded, you know, and taken off the ice. It was a real time, and I think this is what Jack just tweeted out this afternoon. I stand by my real time call.
Yeah, and he should. Again, that it happened in real time. If you watch the clip, please, again, it's 2019. People just read the headline. They read this guy's tweet.
Play it again, Jimmy, yeah, if you don't mind.
Wagner goes to the corner. Polak loads up for a hit. Gave him that little chuck in the lower back, and Polak.
Yeah, that looks self-induced, isn't it?
Yeah, has a little bit of bad hockey karma.
Well, he's the aggressor in this situation, and he's trying to get body position.
So you can stop right there. And so he's, you know, he's not yet on his back with the paramedics.
Right.
He had just sort of rolled over on his stomach, sort of on his own. Like, he was, quote unquote, moving immediately or enough to I think he sort of moved himself onto his stomach.
But his agent paints the picture that, again, it's minutes later while he's being strapped to the board that Jack Edwards is saying this kind of thing. And if you didn't watch the game and you haven't watched the clip, well, you'd probably be led to believe
they were
that.
Silent for most of the time that he was on the backboard being carted off the ice.
Yeah, it was one of those things. You see it over and over. It's sick, you know, that sickening moment of, you know, move. Will you move? Will you move your leg? Give me a
finger
thumbs up
or something.
So I can see that you're, you know, because it's just, you get that pit in your stomach if someone suffers a neck injury in these things. But it's nothing worth losing your mind over. I just chalk it up to another, you know, little subtle homorific. You know, they didn't like that Polak gave him a little shot in the back in the corner, which, I mean, really, it's okay. It wasn't a dirty hit. It wasn't a dirty play. It was a hockey play on both ends, on all ends. But Jack immediately goes to, well, you know, hockey karma, self-induced hockey karma, because they didn't like the fact that he gave him a questionable little shot, which really wasn't that questionable. But it's certainly nothing to. It doesn't make Jack a POS. It doesn't make him a disgrace. It doesn't make him anything. A Bruins tinted call is what it was. And he was certainly not celebrating his injury.
No. And Nesson better not kowtow to those getting upset on Twitter and the blue checkmark brigade. I found this guy. And I mean, all you got to do is put in Jack Edwards' name on Twitter quickly and just go through a quick scroll. The Penguins writer for The Athletic. I am not surprised about Jack Edwards' classless comments last night, considering he once compared a hockey player to Sirhan Sirhan.
To me, can we get on him for saying intentionally wide every time someone shoots the puck wide? Like, I get it. You don't have to tell me every single time. Can I get on him for that? Like, that's what I'd like to criticize him on, not over this nonsense. But anyway, that's what came out of that game last night. Back to your phones after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5. The Sport.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Batted into the near corner by Wagner. He crashes awkwardly against the boards. It's one of the Stars players who's down. Is that Roman Polak?
Well, he's the one who took, it looked like took Wagner to the boards that time, and Wagner literally went in feet first. Now, Corrali came up through the neutral zone. He started moving to the middle and then tried to give that puck to Wagner. Wagner's going to be first in. Polak, as he took Wagner into the boards, Polak actually ran into the boards himself. Yeah. Now, he tried to take Wagner into the boards. Kind of a little cross-check, and he went into the boards head and right shoulder first, awkwardly.
So there's our call of it. You notice there's no sort of, like, Polak being the bad guy. It's just,
no, because Judd and Bob play it straight.
It's just Beers describing what happened. So again, I'm defending Jack against this overreaction in Dallas. That's ridiculous. He shouldn't be getting reamed for that. My aggravation is just the subtle little everything on the homerific call. Like, he did it. They went there because he wanted to get on Polak for trying to hit Wagner, which was not that questionable of a hit. It was just a hockey play. Yet because the Star was trying to hit the Bruin.
No, there's Bruin amplification to a lot of those calls.
Right, it's Bruin's amplification. And I expect it from the color guy. I always have to readjust with Jack on the play-by-play. So I always get more aggravated with the play-by-play guy doing it to me. Because you're just supposed to tell me what's happening. You know, like, come on. But immediately it's like bad hockey karma and self-induced. And he tried to give a little shot to the lower back. And so Jack's sort of opining there. And that to me is just a little bit frustrating. Back to phone. On a much lighter note, real quick. Trevor and Drake, it go. What's your question?
I'd like to tell you about the NESN logo. It kind of doesn't look really like a sports logo. It looks just kind of like a news channel's logo, a movie channel logo.
Okay, unrelated note. NESN's new logo.
Yeah, they go from the ticket and turn themselves into a mattress company? That's what I thought it looked like. It says these waves that NESN now has. It says baseball, but on memory foam. Like, anyone that I've seen either quote tweet this or make a comment on it on Twitter hates it. Hates it. Like, so what did they pay? What PR firm did they pay to come up with this thing? Like 40, 50 grand for this new logo? It's terrible.
So we're obviously not going to show it on it. For obvious reasons, NBC Sports Boston shan't be showing that. So you can just look it up on Twitter if you didn't see it. So I'm not on Twitter, so I guess you wouldn't have read my tweet, which would have been, I kind of like it.
Oh, God.
I do. Geez, I did. You saw it this, did I put it in our email this morning? I did. It need freshening up. That old ticket logo's old, cheesy.
It's classic. It's like the Brewer glove. It's just, it shouldn't be touched.
And it also screams sports. This thing is cold, which makes sense that you like it because you're cold.
I sort of liked it. I think it needed a freshening up.
Looks like me trying to draw something in Pictionary, and then at the end when the timer runs out, everybody's like, what the hell was that? No, I'm sorry. I was trying to draw the NESN logo.
Trying to draw bacon.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see the S in there or the E, but like I get what they're ish. Like I kind of get what they're doing in there. I just think it needed a little modernizing. I don't mind the logo. How's that?
Of all the bad takes you've had in 10 years,
this might be the worst take you've had.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Hey, you know what, Jimmy? At least it was a take.
You're welcome.
It was a take.
You're right. I wasn't just facilitating. I didn't ask you.
How about that?
Unlike with Jack, where he's angry at Jack for this, but he's agreeing with Jack on this. So it's nice right down the middle.
No, here's my favorite. This is what I should have done, which is NESN logo. Your thoughts.
It blows, Mike. It blows.
Yeah. It sucks, Mike. It's terrible.
Perfect. Now, next call.
The person who designed it should be fired, and the person who approved it should be fired.
I kind of liked it. Tom and Newton, go ahead. What do you got for us on Agenda Free Friday?
Classic.
Yeah, hey, guys. It's Agenda Free Friday, so I figured I'd weigh on this. Just like the whole, I don't know how to describe it, like the whole like John Henry industrial complex, like the Red Sox, Nesson, et cetera. Like the last like week or 10 days or however long it's been, the Red Sox, they fire the GM. The owners aren't accountable. There's no press conference. They don't want to pay Mookie Betts. They raise the ticket prices. They announce they want to go under the luxury tax. And then, of course, you know, I know because it's like half Bruins and half Red Sox, you know, at least invested in Nesson. You watched this broadcast last night in the advertisement. I think there was one that was like a TD Bank logo. Literally looked like it was playing forward for the Bruins. Like,
yeah.
How much more money do these companies, or Henry or whoever, need to extract before it just becomes so nauseating you have to turn it off? Thanks.
So, look, that ship has sailed, and I'd rather have in-game commercials superimposed than more commercial spots. They just have to work.
Yeah, I have to think that that was a screw-up. That wasn't like a constant thing.
Then the TD logo making a save and then saving it. This is great. Yeah.
Kick, save, and a beaut. So just work. The thing, I think they should be selling more in-game advertising. Whatever presents us from having more commercial spots should be a positive. Alex in Hyannisport with an agenda-free Friday kind of question, I think. Go ahead, Alex.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Look, you guys have to educate me on something, and I'm tired of hearing about it. Maybe you guys can convince me otherwise. This notion, now, I'm going to talk about quarterback right now. The notion that we have to address a player, label him as the greatest of all time, it doesn't exist. I know I hear it with Jordan, then now I hear it with Brady. I used to hear it with Montana. Why do you guys, anyone, think that there is the greatest of all time? Convince me. It doesn't exist.
Sure it does.
Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback that ever lived.
He is.
Why? I'm not saying anyone else is. I'm not saying I don't think anyone else is the greatest that ever lived, but why do you think he is the greatest that ever lived?
Because no one did it better for longer, more consistently than him.
Did what? I mean, winning every year?
And
the accolades, the accomplishments.
Well, no, but also producing. I mean, it used to be a case where he was just rings and no stats, but now look at the career leaders and everything. He's up there. He and Breeze are going to catch Manning this year and be either 1-2 in touchdown passes, career. And I don't care about the stats, so I don't like I can't rattle them off to you, but if I just did 5 minutes of research, I could. He'll be top of the history of the game in all sorts of production stats. He'll have the most championships. He will have done it longer and better than anyone who's ever played the sport. So he gets to be called the best. I agree that it gets annoying that, you know, we have to, who's the next Jordan? Who's the next LeBron? And we like, pre-anointing people is annoying. The pre-anointment, yeah, which happens, this leap, this jump, this rush to anoint the next guy and call this guy the greatest when he's not, annoying. Brady actually is, though. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And Jordan actually was. So you get to call them the greatest.
Yeah, and a case where it gets annoying is how quickly people want to anoint LeBron James as the greatest of all time just a few years into his career.
Right.
Now you might be able to have that conversation and make a debate for him, but a few years in, that's where I'm with you. It's like, okay, enough, like, stop it.
Pat Mahomes will be the greatest of all time. Well, I mean,
yeah, it's been what, a season?
Get back to me in 2 decades,
yeah,
and let me know how it's gone, and if he is, I'll say it. But I think it's totally fair in Brady's case. Here is McCarthy's update. 90 seconds, no commercials, and we come back, more your calls on Agenda Free Friday. And McCarthy's, what I have to say, bang up plan to save baseball. This is actually good. I like it. You'll hear it right after his update.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at Awaken180WeightLoss.com.